Hello, welcome back to Podmas. It's day 4 here on a truth. No, that's not right. That's the other one. Here on a Sideways Live, the honest guide to living and working abroad. I'm Leanne.
And I'm Al.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Hi.
So if you have listened to all 4 of our other episodes, you know that the Podmas is basically a podcast episode every day for 25 days from the 1st of December until the 25th of December. And usually gets to about sort of day 9 and we're like, fuck, what are we going to talk about?
And then we finish work on about day 18.
Yeah.
And then it gets fun.
Yes, because we just generally just roll up drunk, don't we?
Yep.
So this is obviously meant to be a bit lighthearted. We're going to be talking a little bit. In fact, what are we talking about today, Leah?
Well, we are continuing our theme of things we wish we'd have known before we lived and worked abroad. We are picking up with one of our lovely former guests tomorrow. But for today, it's just you and me, Al, and I, and our listener, you. We're coming in your ears. if you've not watched Phoenix Nights, do. Just YouTube it, Google it or something. It's so funny.
Unless English isn't your first language.
Put subtitles on, it's still funny.
It's funny with the accent. It's from Northern England.
Can you hear me now?
Northwest England. One of my favourite accents in the world. It's a bit like, I'm not even going to try and describe what it's like. It's a great comedy. Peter Kay, I'm sure you know who Peter Kay is. One of his greats. Anyway. We're talking about what
we're... So today we're going to talk about one of the things we made it. When we were thinking about this a couple of weeks ago, we made like a big long list. I had looked through it before and I thought one that might be quite good is to talk about what we wish we'd have known about having a dog before we lived and worked abroad. Mm. We've had 3 dogs since we left the UK. 2 dead now, of course. 1 Peanut.
We'll need to give some context to the dead now, of course. My dad tells stories and he'll tell a story about a particular person who he knew and he'll pause at the end of the story and go, dead now, of course. So that's the reason why it's come up. Anyway,
yes, it's a long-standing joke. I think he even mentioned in his speech at our wedding, didn't he?
For him. He might have done.
But yeah, so we currently have our Peanut who we rescued in Malaga, Spain. He is almost 7. Mm-hmm. Big boy now, big boy. Mm-hmm. And we've learned a lot. And I think especially if you are from the UK and are thinking about getting a dog, or if you're currently in the UK and have a dog and are starting to thinking about traveling Europe, we've got some news, we've got some tips, we've got some beware, because I think there's a lot of things that in terms of dogs we don't, or animals in general actually, we don't really have in the UK that are dangerous in Europe, like different insects and things like that. We'll go into it, but there's a lot more that I think that you have to do in general maintenance for a dog when you live and work abroad and be wary of. So I thought it might be good. Might be shit. We'll find out.
We'll find out in about 12 minutes time. So one of the first things Leanne alluded to, and we did say a couple of episodes ago, which Melissa texted us about, Melissa from the very first digital nomad in Croatia, and that is that you, in some countries, certain breeds you require a license for, particularly around the Dangerous Dog Act. In the UK, there is a Dangerous Dog Act, but you don't need a license for it. It's just there's 4 core breeds that are banned, if I remember.
Yeah.
And those are not the breeds you think.
No, they're not the breeds you think. But yeah, they're banned. I think even crossbreeding with them is banned. So it's not really something that, well, we don't have a dangerous dog license because you just can't have them. But in Spain, as we've mentioned, Rottweilers are on that list. And what always made me smile about that, German Shepherds aren't on that list. They're not classed as a dangerous dog. Yet part of the requirements when you have a Rottweiler or a dog that is on the dangerous dog list in Spain is have signs up around your property to say that there's a dangerous dog on the premises. All of those signs have a picture of a German Shepherd.
And also, like, I don't know if you noticed this in Split, but when it's got a picture of like no dogs allowed, it's got the outline of a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a European thing that is the sign of the dog. Anyway, So
yes, worth checking if you have a larger breed dog that may be considered, in inverted commas, dangerous.
Or a chihuahua.
Or a chihuahua. Yeah, just have a little check at that list. Just see if it is on there. And if it is, typically they have to be muzzled in public. They have to be on a no more than a 1 meter lead. They can't be let off the lead, and you do have to have a license to own them as well. And if you get stopped by the police, which Al did once, they will ask you for proof of that license. So,
Okay, which I didn't have, but I managed to blag my way out of it. So we're talking today about sort of like the top five things we wish we knew before we moved. I've said five, arbitrarily pulling that from my rectal.
We've done one.
There we go. So we've just got to think of four more. So what do you, I've come up with a dangerous dog thing. What have you got a thought of something that you wish you knew before you traveled with the dog?
I think one thing I wish I knew before we traveled with the dog, I think actually rabies, because when way back when we first moved to the continent, 2013 with Charlie, who is our incredible Rottweiler, well, Al's really, but
who's
I adopted him. Yeah, rabies. Rabies injections aren't a thing in the UK. They're not, unless you travel abroad with your dog, they don't have to be rabies vaccinated. Whereas in Europe, they're usually part of their puppy vaccinations, or dogs are vaccinated against rabies. So this was back in the day where you had to have blood tests and stuff. I'm not sure how it works now. Is it still the same?
Let's assume it is. If you are coming from the UK, then allow a good period of time before first leaving with your dog, because it used to be something silly like you'd have to do 90 days before you'd have to have the rabies injection, then they'd have to test that it worked and all this kind of stuff. So do check. It has changed recently in the last 2 or 3 years, I think after Brexit. So you need to check that very carefully. But yeah, you're right. With rabies, everyone has rabies. And also you need to keep up with your rabies. So if you get your rabies done late, so let's say he's due or she, your dog is due in September, and you rock up in October and say, yeah, can you just give me a rabies? They will give you a bollocking because they did it with us and split. And also could potentially stop you from traveling.
Yeah, because the thing is it like 21 days or something after their last vaccination? The other interesting thing about rabies is that each country, even within the EU, will have different rules around the regularity of having that booster. So in Spain, it was every 12 months. And then when we went, I think were we in Poland, maybe? I'm not sure. This might not be right. We were somewhere else in the EU. It was definitely EU. And went to get Peanut's annual rabies jab. And they were like, oh, he doesn't need it. It's 2 years here. And we're like, we know, but we're going to travel through these countries where it's annually. There's other countries that are every 3 years. I think if you're traveling around Europe, probably the easiest thing is just to get it done every year, just as part of their little boosters.
Definitely. So the third thing, which is definitely Southern Europe, I'm not sure about Northern Europe, but definitely Southern Europe, is that in the spring, you get these caterpillars, these hairy caterpillars. They're called processionary caterpillars. And they're not in themselves poisonous, but if a dog goes and sniffs them, they've got these little hairs that kind of come off them and can get stuck in like mouth, in the throat, in the nose, which we've heard of dogs having to have their tongues amputated, noses amputated.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad news. So
it can be fatal as well.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, they're like respiratory. So if they get into like their lungs or their throat or something. And it sounds really stupid because you think, well, why would you possibly? I mean, if you come from the UK, if you come from Australia, then everything tries to fucking kill you in Australia. So that won't come as any surprise. I'm surprised there's any Australians over the age of 12. I really am. But if you're coming from other places, you might think, why the hell would I need to look out for a caterpillar? But what's useful about this, and I don't know whether it's a nature thing or just happens to be, is that they are called processionary caterpillars because they tend to walk nose to tail. So if you've ever seen the human centipede, you know what I'm talking about. So what you'll have is potentially like 50 to 100 of these caterpillars, and they will walk literally in a procession. So there'll be nose to tail. So it looks like someone's left a stick across the path. Mm-hmm. So if you are coming in the spring, generally sort of between March and May.
Beginning of May, yeah.
So you've got about 6 weeks. If you ever see like a stick lying across the path, then avoid, if you've got a dog, stop. Second, first of all, make sure the dog's in the lead at all times. Secondly, stop and just investigate first. The other thing is that quite often what they'll do is they will spray them, so that they, being like the local government, council, whatever you might call them, the local authority, will spray them but not pick them up. Mm. And they're still not great if they're dead and a dog goes and sniffs them.
Yeah, they do eventually pick them up. I think they just leave them there until they're and then they pick them up, and then you will see them like kind of like power washing the ground as well, because like these hares are really dangerous for humans as well if you get them in your hands. So just avoid them. But as Alan said, the good thing is you can't miss them because they are usually at least a meter long.
This is the line, not the caterpillar.
The line, yeah, the line moving together is usually a meter long. The other thing as well is that the time of year, they're usually around, they like to live in, well, in Croatia anyway, in Spain, I think they, I'm not sure what they live in Spain, but in Croatia, it's usually fir trees.
Yeah.
So if you live in pine trees, yeah. So if you're in an area with lots of those types of trees, you like to see them. And also you can see their nests in the trees as well. They look like kind of like spider web balls, like globes.
Candy floss.
Like candy floss. Yeah, they're really weird. So you can actually, you'll see them in the trees before you actually see the caterpillars on the floor, because that's their nest, and then they hatch and then they leave. It is a pain in the arse, because for about 6-8 weeks we don't get let Peanut off the lead.
No.
Because it's just too dangerous. But in Spain, I can't remember, did they live in olive trees or something, or a similar kind of pine? But yeah, southern Europe, just keep an eye out for it. But I just ask, if you're not sure if it is relevant in where you are, just put it on your local Facebook group, or someone will know, or ask your vet, they'll know.
Definitely. Okay, so that is dangerous dog license. We've talked about
rabies.
Rabies. We talked about processionary caterpillars. So have you got a fourth for us?
I think my fourth is Brexit related. I'm sorry, it's only ever like 5 minutes till Brexit, isn't it? But Brexit related. And this is only one that we've kind of tried and tested in the summer when we went back to the UK and we drove back with Peanut. Is that, no word of a lie, Peanut has a Spanish passport and he has more rights in the EU now than we do.
It's true.
Like, because his passport is EU, he can go wherever he wants. He needs a, as long as he's got his annual rabies, and as long as he's got his has a worming tablet, I think is it 2 to 5 days before he goes back, or 24 hours to 5 days before he goes back to the UK, then that's it. He doesn't need anything else. Whereas now, if your dog is on a UK passport, they have to have all sorts of different certificates that cost, I'm told, like £200 plus a time.
Called an animal health certificate, I think it's called, AHC.
And they're only valid for like 8 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. Massively expensive. Which is kind of what I was mentioning before, alluding to, is that if you're currently in the UK and don't have a dog and are planning on going traveling and getting a dog before you do that, don't. Or get a rescue dog from the EU. Make sure that dog is on an EU passport, because it'll just save you so much time, hassle and money. It sounds so silly, but it really, really will.
And I think also from a point of view of rescuing, if you are going to rescue a dog, there are so many dogs that, I mean, I know there are in like the US and Australia and the UK, but particularly in Europe and particularly in the more traditional Catholic Southern European countries. Mm-hmm. There are so many dogs that need rescuing. You know, there's a service that we've seen lots of services where they will take dogs from Croatia, Spain, Greece, whatever, and drive them down over the border to the UK to be rescued or rehomed in the UK. So if you are thinking, I really fancy a dog, you're thinking, I really also fancy living and working abroad, maybe come out for a little bit, do 6-8 months. And if you like it and you're going to stay, then rescue someone, a dog locally, because you're going to make a massive difference. And we're not going to get the violins out and do some kind of RSPCA ad. But if you're going to rescue a dog, you might as well rescue it from Europe. And also, if it's grown up in the environment, then it's going to be, you know, like poor Charlie dog was 45 kilo Rottweiler, kind of long-haired, like not like long-haired, but, wasn't really short. The poor fella, when it came to summer, we had to keep pouring.
I had to lock him in an air-conditioned room, didn't we?
We once drove in August from Granada, I think, to Sevilla in Spain. So that's maybe about a 3-hour drive, 4-hour drive across the centre.
And
our car, air conditioning had broken in our car. And so we were genuinely stopping every hour to pour water, stop at a service station, get a bottle of water and pour it over the dogs and over us as well. So just bear that in mind. Anyway,
and that's a good thing as well, actually, with heat. If you are bringing your dog over who isn't used to to that kind of heat. There's so many cool things in, like, just go to like your local pet shop. There's like cooling mats, there's cooling jackets, basically like dip them in water or put them in the fridge so they stay really cold. There's so many cool things to help your furry friend stay cool and warm, you know. Yeah. Jackets and jumpers and shoes.
Okay, what have you got next?
That was mine. You're next.
Do you know what? I've not got my list of things we talked to. Not that we planned, but I think Leanne's doing a mime of pulling. So, bondage? No. I've got it. So, I don't know whether it's the same in other countries, but certainly in Europe, what they're very keen on doing is buying a tick collar. These tend to be white or grey. They're plastic. I don't know how they work. But what you do is you go and buy them, usually about €20. You put them around your dog's neck. You cut off the extra bit. And what that does is keeps the ticks away. And it really, really does work. I never was sure it worked, but it really, really does work. We've noticed with Peanut, so, you know, I think we forgot 1 year or something. And I started seeing ticks everywhere. The season started
a bit earlier here, right. Maybe. I think maybe in Spain it was a bit further into autumn, where it's kind of like August time you start to pick up ticks. Mm-hmm. So yes, they are really good. And it helps with other things as well. Now, there's another bug that can give animals, is it called leash?
Oh, I was thinking heartworm, but yes, leash.
Leash is another. There's lots of, I guess that's an add-on to that, is a one thing that I would guess we wish we had known. There's lots of different kind of, I guess, viruses, diseases, parasites that occur in continental Europe that don't in the UK and perhaps not in other parts of the world as well, mm-hmm. That again can be really dangerous for dogs and for cats. But this collar helps protect against those as well.
So, and I think remember they last like 6 months and yep. We only tend to have them one a year because it goes on, you know, sort of.
Yeah, it's just like the main. Time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, through to like the autumn. But they are really good. And you can usually get the ones as well that if your dog swims or if it gets rained, it gets wet, you just need to wipe them. You don't have to get a whole new one.
Yeah, definitely. And also another big thing, I don't know were you going to talk about cost of vets? Was that one of your things or not? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the cost of vets in the UK particularly is extremely expensive. And you wouldn't necessarily go, you'd only buy the drugs they tell you to buy from the vet if you couldn't get them. Well, you probably would buy them, but they're like marked up. Whereas in Europe, one, it's usually like sort of 10, 15 euros to be seen. Whereas that'd be about 50 quid in the UK. And two, when they do sell you stuff, they sell you it at the same price you'd be able to buy it at a pet shop. It's not marked up like, you go to the hairdresser and they go, would you like some product? And it's usually like 300% markup. This is not, it's all really affordable. I think we went in Poland, I think it was, we went and got the worming tablet. We got him a jab and something else. And the whole thing came to about 19 quid or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is really, really more cost effective, I think, in terms of vets. And they're very, very good. Very, very good. And I think that's quite nice. You know, you can take, not that, you know, obviously, if your dog isn't very well and it's suffering, you're going to take the vets wherever you are and however much it's going to cost. But I think there is almost like a bit of like, almost, I guess almost like a bit more of a mentality of preventative care. Mm. Like, he's not looking so right. He's got a little bump here. Like, it's probably nothing, but I'll just go check because it is much more affordable. You're not waiting until, oh yeah, you know, he looks really ill or seeing if that little speck on his paw grows a little bit. It's, It's good.
And vets speak amazing English. In our experience, there's only one vet who didn't speak English, but his assistant did. And also you got Google Translate. So is there anything else to talk about when you're traveling with a dog?
I think there's a bit more to talk about in terms of the, I guess we kind of talked about kind of logistics and health. I think there's a lot more to talk about kind of like having a dog, finding parks, how to socialise. But I wonder whether that's a different conversation for a different day.
I think it probably is. We're coming up about 90 and a half minutes and we're trying to keep these about 20 minutes. Little bite size. So we are still looking out. We've got maybe about, I think, 5 or 6 people who are expats who we are asking them the question, what do you wish you knew? So we've got some of their sound bites. If you want to be on the podcast, this is your time. Just go to Instagram. You can record a voice message. Search for A Sideways Life or asidewayslife@gmail.com. If you're a bit more old school and like to email us something, just record. What is it you wish you knew? Record it, audio, try and keep it nice. And if you want a really hot tip, then if you want to sound really broadcastery, then take your phone into your wardrobe or closet, if you're from North America, take your phone into the wardrobe and then just record there. And all the external sounds will be absorbed by your by the clothes and you're going to sound broadcast level quality.
Good tip.
Anyway, I think that's enough for now. Should we go and pour ourselves a gin tonic?
I think, and it's the England game tonight. Oh, congratulations to France and the Netherlands. You've already made the last eight in, well, I mean it at this point because I've not played England, but yes, no, congratulations. If you're from the Netherlands or France, well done, friends. You're in the last eight of the World Cup. That's nice. But yeah, England, Senegal tonight. So let's go get ready for that. And if you don't care about football, oof, I feel for you because it is a round right now.
It really is. And to be fair, if England get knocked out, then we might not care about football.
That's true. Somewhere. We'll find out. Come join us on day six and find out.
All right, we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.